Tessa and Henry for scripture reading, intergenerationally beautiful. When you hear the word Sabbath, what's the very first word or what the first image that comes to your mind? The Sabbath is. For me, the first word that comes to me is resistance. Because Sabbath does not come naturally to me. To truly keep and enjoy the Sabbath, I have to resist my natural tendencies, my instincts, and even my identity I have built for myself. Work is my calling, not rest. The English word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb Shabbat, which basically means to cease, to stop, or to desist. So at its most fundamental level, the Sabbath means more than simply to rest. It means to stop working, to cease what we are doing, to stop producing. This is precisely why Sabbath may be the one of the hardest practices for me to live out, because I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to rest. I'm kind of person who can sit still for even 30 minutes. I always feel the need to be doing something. The positive side of this is that I simply don't know how to be bored. Even if I have to listen to a really boring sermon, I guarantee you I won't get bored. Because my mind is always busy wandering somewhere else. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, yes, I'm a workaholic. One day, my younger daughter, Donna, asked me, "Dad, what are you going to do when you retire?" Without thinking twice, I said, "I probably won't be leisurely strolling a beach, holding your mom's hand and appreciating the beautiful sunset. I will probably be somewhere else in the world, meeting new people, starting a new project, and wondering what can I do next. How could I rest? How could I stop?" So this sermon on the Sabbath is not actually really for you. It's for me, who has been living without the grace of Sabbath, and who has resisted all my temptations if I finally rest in the presence of God. Actually, the phrase Sabbath and resistance is not one I invented. It comes from one of the most respected Old Testament scholars of our time, Walter Brueggemann. In fact, it's the title of one of his best-known books. He said, "Sabbath is an act of resistance." At first, they sounded strange. Resistance? How can rest be resistance? Are you curious to know why? Then follow me. Before Israel entered the Promised Land, they lived under Pharaoh's empire. For 400 years, their worth was measured by one question: how many bricks did you produce today? Pharaoh's system did not see human beings as image bearers of God. He saw them as instruments of production. The Israelites were valuable only as long as they contributed to the empire. Exodus tells us, the taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task, as when there is snow. Pharaoh's system has no concept of enough. There were always another quarter, another project, another demand. The people could never stop. And we must recognize something important. Pharaoh did not disappear in the Red Sea. Pharaoh changed forms. The spirit of Pharaoh is still alive today. It appears whenever human beings are valued only by what they produce. It appears in workplaces that expect constant availability. It appears in a digital culture where our phones follow us everywhere. It appears in a society where being busy has become a sign of importance. We apologize when we rest. We feel guilty when we slow down. But not come to church? We measure our worth by our productivity. The most dangerous thing about modern Pharaoh is this. Eventually, we no longer need Pharaoh standing over us. We become Pharaoh to ourselves. We push ourselves beyond our limits and call it dedication. We ignore our exhaustion and call it commitment. We sacrifice relationships and call it ambition. We lose our joy and call it success. But Genesis gives us a radically different vision. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Why did God rest? Not because God was tired. The creator of the universe does not need recovery. God rested because God chose to stop. He looked at creation and declared, "It's enough." The Sabbath begins with God's holy refusal to keep producing. God teaches us creation does not exist because it produces. Creation has value because God loves it. Our worth is not something we earn. It's something we receive with the gratitude of enough. God alone suffices. This is the first resistance of Sabbath against the empire of production and the mindset of never enough. Now scripture reveals another danger. There is another Pharaoh, a Pharaoh that does not appear in the marketplace, a Pharaoh that appears inside religion itself. History reveals a tragic irony. The very commandment that God gave to liberate human beings from Pharaoh's oppression was eventually transformed into another form of oppression. The Sabbath was originally a gift of freedom. It was God's declaration, no one belonged to Pharaoh anymore. But over time, religious leaders built layer upon layers of regulations around the Sabbath. They created detailed interpretations about what was allowed and what was forbidden. The Sabbath, which was meant to create freedom, became a system of fear. Instead of asking, how does the Sabbath restore human beings? People began asking, how close can we get to breaking the rules? The question was no longer about love. It's about control. The Sabbath became something people had to protect rather than something people were invited to receive. And this is where Jesus entered the story. When we read the Gospels carefully, we discover something remarkable. Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders happened frequently around the Sabbath. This was not accidental. Jesus intentionally entered those moments because he understood what was at stake. The Sabbath was not simply about a day on the calendar. It's about the heart of God. Jesus saw the religious system had taken something beautiful and turned it into something heavy. So Jesus challenged it. He healed a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He restored a woman who had been bent over for 18 years. He opened the eyes of a man who had been blind from birth. He told a man who had paralyzed for 38 years, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And every time Jesus was revealing something they had forgotten, the Sabbath exists for people, not people for the Sabbath, as Jesus said in Mark 2:27. This sentence is one of the most revolutionary statements Jesus ever made. Jesus was not rejecting the Sabbath. He was restoring the Sabbath. He was rescuing it from those who had captured it. They saw a problem. Jesus saw a person. This is the second Pharaoh, the Sabbath conference. The Pharaoh of religious legalism. He says, "God cares more about your compliance than your healing." He says, "Protect the institution, even if people are wounded." But Jesus revealed the heart of God. God is not interested in religious performance that ignores human suffering. God is not honored when we preserve our traditions while neglecting wounded people. The Sabbath is not a place where we prove how holy we are. The Sabbath is where God makes us whole. Shalom. Brothers and sisters, we must admit that this danger still exists among us. The first Pharaoh says, "Work harder, produce more, achieve more." The second Pharaoh says, "Follow the rules, protect the tradition, maintain the system." Both of them can steal our souls. One turns us into machines. The other turns us into guardians of a system. One destroys our humanity through exhaustion. The other destroys our humanity through judgment. And both can exist inside the church. It's possible to attend worship every Sunday and still miss the heart of Sabbath. It's possible to sing hymns, serve on committees, give offerings, and maintain a religious appearance while our hearts become distant from God and disconnected from our neighbors. The question Jesus asked us is the same question he asked the religious leaders. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To the good or to the evil? To save life or to kill? Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus brings us back to the center. Does our faith bring life? Does our worship restore people? Does our community become a place where burdens are lifted? Because if our religious practices made people smaller, lonelier, and more broken, we have lost the heart of God. But brothers and sisters, resistance is not the final purpose of service. Service is not only about what we refuse, it's about what we receive. We resist Pharaoh so that we can return to God. We resist endless production so that we can recover our own identity. We resist legalism so that we can rediscover grace. The Sabbath is not merely saying no. It's God's invitation to say yes. Yes to rest. Yes to joy. Yes to relationship. Yes to becoming fully human again. The prophet Isaiah gives us a beautiful picture of this restored life. If we call the Sabbath a delight, the Lord the holy day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Isaiah 58:13-14. Notice that Isaiah does not describe Sabbath as an obligation. He calls it a delight, not a burden, not a religious exam, not a spiritual achievement, a delight. Why? Because Sabbath restores three broken relationships. First, Sabbath restores our relationship with God. The first gift of Sabbath is remembering who we are. We are not the creator, we are creatures. The world does not depend on our constant activity. The sun will rise tomorrow. The earth will continue turning. God will still be God, even when we stop working. Every Sabbath is an act of trust. It says, God, the world is in your hands, not mine. For 6 days we work, but on the seventh day we remember. Before I'm a worker, I'm a child of God. Before I accomplish anything, I'm already loved. Second, Sabbath restores our relationship with others. The second gift of Sabbath is community. The world of Pharaoh's isolates people. It turns co-workers into competitors. It measures people by achievement. It asks, what can you do for me? But Sabbath creates a different kind of community. Around God's table, nobody is valued according to their resume. Nobody is measured by their salary. Nobody is ranked by their success. We come simply as children of God. We eat together. We laugh together. We share our stories. We carry each other's burdens. Excuse me. Sabbath reminds us we are not created only to produce. We are created to belong. And third, Sabbath restores our relationship with ourselves. Perhaps the deepest gift of Sabbath is that it allows us to meet our own souls again. Excuse me again. Many of us are strangers to ourselves. We know our schedules. We know our responsibilities. We know our deadlines. But we have forgotten our own hearts. Sabbath creates a sacred space to ask, who am I when I am not working? What brings me joy? What's my soul longing for? What kind of person is God forming me to become? These questions are not selfish. These are holy. Because God does not want merely productive servants. God wants beloved children. So when we look back on our summer service as a congregation, we should understand what happened. We did not abandon our faith. We practiced our faith. We did not step away from God. We stepped toward God. Our summer service was a declaration. We refuse to be controlled by the anxiety of production. We refuse to measure our worth by performance. We refuse to allow religious activity to replace our relationship with God. But this kind of service requires courage. It takes courage to turn off the phone when messages are waiting. It takes courage when we start proving ourselves. It takes courage to believe that we are loved even when we accomplish nothing. And this courage is exactly what Jesus invites us into. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, "Come to me after you fix yourself." He does not say, "Come to me after you become successful." He does not say, "Come to me after you prove your worth." He just says, "Come to me. Come with your exhaustion. Come with your failures. Come with your unfinished work. Come with your tired soul. I will give you rest." Yes, the deepest service is found in Christ Himself. On the cross, Jesus declared, "It is finished." Those three words are the ultimate Sabbath declaration. The work of salvation is complete. The love of God does not need to be earned. The grace of God does not need to be achieved. We do not have to run faster on the treadmill of self-justification. We can step off. We can rest. Because Christ has already completed the work. So every Sunday is a small resurrection. Every Sabbath reminds us Pharaoh does not have the final word. Exhaustion does not have the final word. Legalism does not have the final word. Death does not have the final word. The final word belongs to the one who rested, the Savior who healed, the Spirit who liberates. You are not a machine. You are not your productivity. You are not your achievement. You are a beloved child of God. So today, hear the invitation of Jesus. You are free to stop. You are free to breathe. You are free to come home. Yes, the Sabbath sets us free from every yoke that the world places upon us. Everything it offers us, demands of us, and forces upon us. We are free now. Not simply free from something, but free in Christ and with the body of Christ. What more could I ask for, if this is what Sabbath truly means? Freedom. Amen.